Well, God's grace to you in the joy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. I'd start out today with you in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let's see what we read there. It says, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to go on vacation and a time to come back from vacation." Well, maybe not that last part, but that's true, isn't it? And there's a time to work, and there's a time to go away from work for a little while and be refreshed. And that's what I'd like to talk with you about for a little while, since we had the great opportunity and blessing to be able to go to the United Kingdom, to England, and a little bit to France in the last 2 weeks. In fact, last Sunday I woke up in London. Last Saturday I woke up in Paris. And on Tuesday morning I woke up in Merritt Island. So, what a blessing it is. And I'd like to talk about scripturally, does God have times for us to be away from our work? And what is the benefit of that? Is that actually in the Bible? And is that part of God's will for our lives, your lives too? Maybe you can't go to England. It's maybe a one trip of a lifetime for us. But we can have time away from work here in Florida and have ourselves refreshed and revigorated. So let's take a look and see what God tells us about these things today in Scripture. What's His will? What's His message for us? First of all, God definitely wants us to work. Amen? He honors work. He loves work. In fact, we can turn over here to the Psalms. And in Psalm 104, it says, "When the sun rises, man goes forth to his work and to his labor until the evening." And that's most of our lives, isn't it? We get up and we go to work. We learn in the scriptures in Deuteronomy 5, it says, 6 days you shall labor. In other words, do all your work. God loves work. He's like a farmer. He loves a super crop, and He wants you to be producing wonderful things. And the work He gives us is a blessing and an inspiration and a gift, even though it's tough sometimes by the sweat of our brows. We learn of tax collectors that they were to continue to collect taxes, just collect no more than is appointed you. Also, soldiers, do your job as soldiers. Just don't rob people by violence. Be content with your wages. And, of course, even in Colossians 3, slaves, obey your masters in everything. Do your service, whatever your task, work heartily as serving the Lord and not men, knowing that from the Lord you receive your inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So when you go out to work, do you work as if you're serving the Lord or just men? Work as if you're serving Jesus Christ in everything you do. Whatever you do, it's at the post office, if it's, you know, in home care, if it's as a pastor, if it's, you know, serving wherever you're serving. God loves work. So that's a good thing, right? We are supposed to work most of our lives. Is there a time, though, to be away from work? Is that a good scriptural thing? Does God have that in His word as well? Well, take a look at this. Deuteronomy 5. To observe the Sabbath day. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh, it's a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, God says. You or your whole family, that they may rest as well as you. So, does God want us to have at least a day off a week? That's to worship Him and spend special time apart from work with Him. Don't do any work. God even has to command it to us, right? Don't work. Put it aside. Spend time with me. You need refreshment. Also, you could look over here in the Old Testament. There were festivals God set up, like Passover and the Festival of Tabernacles and Booths and Weeks and such things and Pentecost. Now, when God set up those times, those are times not to work. You're just to celebrate. And even the Passover here in Exodus 12 says, "On the first day you shall have a holy assembly. On the seventh day a holy assembly, no work shall be done on those days." In other words, you get a whole week off to just celebrate me, God says. Time apart with me to be refreshed. You look over in Paul's day, people came from all over the world taking great long trips across the seas to Jerusalem for Pentecost in order to celebrate God and spend time apart with Him. And then also here we see in the New Testament, in Mark chapter 6, you know, the disciples have been working very hard. And when they came back and they told Jesus all that they had done, Jesus said to them, "Now come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while. For so many were coming and going, They had no leisure even to eat. And so isn't this a great word to us already? That God does set aside times for you not to work in order to be celebrating Him, rejoicing apart from your work. God doesn't want you to work always. Yes, work, but not all the time. I met a guy just this week, actually, who saying, I work and work and work, and that's all I do. I wake up, I work, I eat dinner, I go to sleep, I get up, I work. I have no life. You know, God wants you to have a life. And work hard. Work is tough. Life is tough. But there's also times God says, set apart time away from work, because you need to be recharged in me. So, what's God do for us in our time away? Well, think about this. Number one, in Deuteronomy 5, it says again here, let's just look at the Sabbath, for example. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work. Seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Don't do any work, you or any of your family, etc., that they may rest as well as you. So what do we need to do on a, what's the purpose of ceasing from work, according to this passage? That they may rest, right? We need rest. We need to be replenished. You know, I got a cell phone here. Y'all, you have a cell phone? What do? You work, you use it all day long like this, right? What happens at night? You gotta plug it in. Otherwise, it's gonna be down to like red blinking, like 1%, which is usually what I am. So you gotta plug it in to get recharged. Your body needs to be recharged. So when we went to the UK, United Kingdom, England, one of the things that God did for us is to replenish and restore and refresh our bodies. Do you need that in your life? Now, my life as a pastor, kind of necessity has to be somewhat sedentary. I gotta sit. I can't just climb mountains and write sermons and read scriptures at the same time. You know, you gotta sit for a certain part of it. So for me to get over there to England to refresh my body, God said, use your body. You know? Namely, walking. Boy, the English walk, don't they? Have you been there? They walk everywhere. And hiking and biking and climbing mountains and swimming in the English Channel. We went nonstop trying to keep up with Ben, my good friend, who we went to visit. That was a refreshment to my body. And to Naomi, she did the same. And Beth, as much as she could, did the same. I remember last Sunday, I'd walked 10 miles. 1 week ago today in London, I walked in the morning 3 miles and then throughout London the afternoon for hours. About 10 miles that day. I sat down at the end of the day and my body basically was exhausted, but it felt great to have been used, you know? And at the end of the day, I was like, thank you, God. I feel so refreshed and I slept great. When we use our bodies and get refreshed, you know, if you have a job that does a lot of work, with your body? Well, don't do anything on your vacation. If you have a job that makes you sit a bit, get out there and use it. It's a refreshment to go do all these things. So, number one thing God does for us when He says set time aside is He wants to restore your body. Anybody need their body restored today? Well, set some time apart. God says this is holy. I want you to be restored, just like a cell phone, just like, you know, nature. It goes to sleep at night. It needs to be recharged. All of nature falls asleep every winter and gets up reinvigorated in the springtime. You know, you need to be reinvigorated. Don't just work and work and work and work and never stop. Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while. Replenish yourselves. And this is so great that we have a God who wants you to be refreshed. He wants you strong and invigorated in life. So, number one thing God did for us is to give us refreshment to our bodies. Secondly, refreshment to our inner man, our mind, our spirit, our soul, our heart, our perspective. Let's see if this opens up properly. Da-da-da. There we are. Let's just talk for, I got a number of slides here. Okay, so pictures about some of the things that God refreshed us with. When we got to England, here's you know, Parliament, there's Westminster Station in London. And do you think that gave some refreshment to our perspective? You know Beth, she's really not a very emotive person. Here's Beth arriving in Piccadilly Circus. Just slightly interested. You can see Naomi and Ben are having more joy than I am in Beth enjoying London than we are in London itself. As we're going, she starts to dance. And then down the way, here's my friend Ben, whom I met years ago on a schooner in the Caribbean, and we've been friends for 28 years or so. Don't see him often, but here he is introducing us to Westminster Abbey. But on the way, Beth is looking down the way. Really? Is that Parliament? You're kidding over there?
I can't believe it.
Refreshment to the soul. Along the way, she had a picture with the royal guard mounted on the horses there and jumped into her phone box and upping into Westminster Abbey, just to show you that I was actually there too, not every picture is of Beth. Oh, here we went to a wonderful place. This is Salisbury Cathedral, which is in southwestern England. The spire is the tallest in England, 404 feet tall it reaches, built in the 12th century, I believe. This place. Inside, here's where the Magna Carta was signed by one of the copies of it. In there, Prince John himself, of Robin Hood days with a brother of Richard the Lionheart, signed the Magna Carta. They have these beautiful doves flying down the way of the center of the cathedral. And in England, things were very refreshing. God worked new, fresh perspectives in us by a whole nother culture, a whole nother people. A whole nother land. There's the Union Jack flying. They have different kinds of cars over there, you know? And they set you off on the road. Of course, you drive on the wrong side of the road, so Beth here is absolutely freaked out. Especially when I started driving. Right? So we're driving on the left side of the road. I'm sitting on the right side of the car and doing the stick shift with my left hand, coming into roundabouts, and who knows what's going on there. Right? But then here's a picture of Beth realizing I was taking a picture of her. She was a little upset at me. Of course, the language is so different over there. Lose, you know? This was a refreshment God gave to us to just enjoy. It's English, but it's certainly very different. Where's the loo? That's the bathroom. If you, let's look at some of the other ones I had. Where was this? If you want to go on a lift, on an elevator, that's a lift. If you say, hey, that's cool, that's awesome, you say, oh, it's brilliant. You know, everything's brilliant over there. And what do you fancy for dinner? I'm like, fancy? We don't need anything fancy, just plain is fine. And the bathroom, where's the bathroom? It's called the toilet. Everywhere it's called the toilet. Beth's like, that's blunt. If you want to give something a try, I'm going to give it a go. If you line up, you're in a queue. If you use the faucet, that's the tap. If you are putting something in the trunk, it's in the boot of the car. If you are going to go to an ATM and get money out, you go to a hole in the wall or a cash point. And if you're going to have a vacation, it's called a holiday. So there's all these different refreshments that were so exciting. You know what Ben said after he'd been there with us for a little while and we'd been exploring the things that he took for granted? He says, you're giving me new eyes to see my own country, how beautiful it is, because it's a fresh perspective God was giving to us, and it gave him a fresh perspective, and it can give you a new perspective when you take time away here about what a beautiful place you live in, because this is vacation land. This is places for holidays. People live their whole lives to get to Cocoa Beach, and yet we take it for granted. If you get a little time away with the Lord, he'll open your eyes to see how beautiful it is. Look, here's Stourhead Gardens, an estate. A beautiful old aristocratic place. Looks like a postcard. Look at that. And the bird songs were of choruses of birds. It was like the Garden of Eden. Some of the beautiful pictures of the place. Here's Naomi climbing up in some of the trees. And this was actually one tree coming up that God designed, which has all these roots are other trees that rise up in the same place. We got to see great works of art. Beth loved this, like the picture of Christ's birth. Beth loved the flowers. And here, emotive a little bit once again. This is when she saw, you mean they have a waterfall here too? You're kidding me. Can you see how God, through time apart, refreshes not only our bodies, but our souls as well? Naomi enjoyed this Shakespearean type of thing. She's jumping around. Just to show you, I was there too, top of St. Paul's in London. But when God brought us to the side, this is where Naomi and I came into our glory especially. Look at these tiny people up there, 200 feet down, along these cliffs of old hairy rocks in the southwest of England. There's Ben, my friend, and if you're really daring, you can walk out on this little area where there's 200-foot drop on either side. Talk about refreshment to your soul. Naomi enjoyed the caves and the biking and passing through villages with thatched roofs and up onto this mountainside. This hill is actually, Hambledon Hill, was a fort from 1000 AD. You can walk up and see the old ramparts here that were up to defend the hill in the old times of the village. You can dig into the side, Ben says, and still bring out pottery from 1,000 years ago. We went on the sea, riding on a ketch on the English Channel, the groundswell of the English Channel. And Ben and I met on a ship, remember? So we're there hauling the ship in and feeling the groundswell under our feet, the roll of the deck, and it was so beautiful to get out there. I want you to see this as God's refreshment. This is what he does for us. We just step aside with him for a little way. He wants our souls refreshed. Here's Naomi with a cocked hat and the British ensign flying behind her. He brought us over to Corfe Castle, where this is built by William the Conqueror in the 11th century. And you can climb up there, and still, as Linda, Ben's girlfriend, said, you can play hide and seek in there. A lot of people do that in this ancient castle. Then down to the sea to Lyme Regis on the in the southwest part of the coast. And Naomi wanted to climb up there where it said, danger, anybody climbs up here at his own risk. Well, Naomi wanted to go up it, and there she was. There we're at the top of this cliff overlooking the sea. Then down into the English Channel where we swam together in absolutely water that was like ice. Here's myself and there's Ben, my friend. And you know what? There was a time of connection between Ben and me. When we got into that water together, it was brother to brother again. I'm swimming in the sea again with Greg and I with Ben. When we came out, refreshed, brought back into a newness of life, and even got to have some half pints on the way home at a pub. So one thing that God does for us when we take time away with him is he refreshes our perspectives on life. Have you guys looked out in the parking lot here behind the church and seen that flower that's growing up out of a little guard for the car tires to stop? There's now like 5 or 6 flowers coming out of that. Do you see that with a fresh perspective? You know, take delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Proverbs 4:15 says, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart. Good news refreshes the bones. God wants you refreshed. Have you taken time away? A little bit, not all the time, but a little bit with God from your work to let him refresh your heart and your soul? Well, that's your body, that's your inner soul, but also, especially, number 3, God refreshes your relationships with other people. As we went through England, you know, here we are enjoying a park nearby. There's Ben, Naomi, myself, and one thing I feel that was such a blessing is that God is refreshing our relationships. You know, when we don't take time and we work and work and work and work and work, we may miss relationships, but here we had time. And as we spent our time over there in Britain, Ben started to open up about some things that were on his heart that were troubling him. And we also opened up ourselves. We ministered to him. He ministered to us. We ministered to Linda, his girlfriend, and she back to us. And God, this is what he does. He works through people this way and that. Beth got to know Linda very well. This is Ben's girlfriend. She opened up and shared with us, and they got to become great friends. Do you know that when we go on vacation, listen very carefully, when we take time away on holiday, God does not take time off from his work. Amen? He is the living God. And wherever you are, whether you work or whether you're at play, he is at work. Jesus says on the Sabbath day, my Father is working still, and I am working. And God worked to bring out certain things that were in their hearts and in our hearts, and we ministered Christ to each other such that by the time we left, they were the brighter in their spirits and we were the brighter. And Linda said to me when we're about to head to Paris, she says in her British accent, I think, Greg, that you came to England for more than just a vacation, more than just a holiday. It's been a real blessing to us, you know? And you know what? Isn't that true? That when we go away and get a time away from work, God is still working. He loves you. He is at work in you. He is at work with you. And he is at work through you to bless and refresh everybody around you, as well as refreshing you in him. And then also, as we, this is the last one, is that when we, you know, our bodies are refreshed, our inner man and our spirits are refreshed, our perspectives, our relationships are refreshed, and then also, especially our relationship with God is refreshed when we take time apart with him. Amen? Think about this. We went through all these places, like here's England in Parliament once again. That's London. We went to Paris. And with Beth, when Beth first saw that, I should have gotten the picture. My goodness. That's true. I mean, Ben is very, you know, English and British, and he doesn't really express himself much. And by the time we got through driving around Paris, he was like, "Hi." Because Beth is like, "No! Boo! Ah!" And screaming at the tops of her lungs. And she's like, "Whoa." But God said to me, in ministering my relationship, he says, "Look, Greg, you've gone to these cities, and these are great cities." And as Ben said, I must concede that the French had a greater empire than we did. But you know what? He says, but I have a greater city for you, Greg. A city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, says Hebrews 11. You're a stranger, Greg. You're an exile in this earth. But I've prepared for you a city, and therefore God is not ashamed to be called your God, for I have prepared for you a city. Do you believe that, friends? We see great cities on the earth, but God has prepared for us a kingdom and a city that is so beautiful, covered in gold and full of glory. He refreshed my spirit in him. Then we passed through places like Stonehenge. And God said, you know, it was really neat to see the Druids and whatever they were worshiping back then. But God said, each person walks in the name of its God, but we shall walk in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says Scripture. And you know what? God said, look, this is other religions. This is false religions. But you know, right across the highway, right behind Beth, you know what it looked like? The gospel. Look at this. That's what it looks like. And that's what it's like when God takes you from a false religion and brings you into Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of your sins, the free gift of eternal life because he died for us and rose again. Look, fields full of gold, buttercups, and joy to go along with it. Isn't she beautiful? I had to take a picture of her. Then we went up on this bare heights where all these little cows were, and it reminded me of that scripture that says, they shall feed along the ways, and on all bare heights shall be their pasture. You know, God is our good shepherd. He makes us lie down beside still waters. He makes us in green pastures to restore our soul. God says, don't just enjoy the land. I do these things for you. We went down to the water and went swimming in the English Channel and were invigorated, but God said to me, you got a greater water, namely baptism. This is the Salisbury Cathedral, and this is their baptismal font. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. For I, the Lord your God, am with you, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And so God, when I swam, he says, but remember, there's a greater refreshing. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the waters of holy baptism. And you saw all these great castles, Greg, God said, but look at them now. They're fallen down. William the Conqueror built it, but Parliament and Oliver Cromwell tore it down such that they underdug its foundations and it fell over. Here I'm pretending to be Hercules. But Greg, I've got a new kingdom for you through all the broken kingdoms of this world, a new life, a castle. God is a mighty fortress, says Luther and David. And God says, it has a foundation. My kingdom, my castle, my place is more solid than a lighthouse. Built upon the rock, it will never fail you, and it will stand forever. And lastly, we came to the beautiful royal wedding that we saw there, Harry and Meghan, right? Well, we watched this with Ben's mum, and she was very into the royalty. She wanted everything to be done just right. She was afraid Meghan would wear a miniskirt. And we watched her, and she was watching it, and at the end, she gave her judgment. She says, I think that Meghan conducted herself as fit the occasion. And I thought that was beautiful, but I thought, you know what? This is an image ultimately of Christ at the end of time marrying his bride, the church, and that great congregation of aristocrats. Those are the angels who rejoice with you and me because the marriage of the Lamb has come And his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And we're covered in the righteousness of Christ. And on that day, we're going to rejoice, like with William and Kate here. Christ and his bride rejoicing forever in a kingdom that has no end. So the last thing I say to you is this, is that in times away, so important to have times to be refreshed, to be strengthened in all these different ways. Because Ben gave up 2 weeks to be with us, to do everything to bless us. Jesus gave up heaven to be with us, not for 2 weeks, but forever, to never depart, to continue to bless us. And he says, I am your good shepherd, and I lead you in a way that you will lack nothing. I lead you, I make you lie down in green pastures. I will lead you beside still waters, and I will refresh and I'll restore your soul. All through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.